Again, we extend Christian greetings to you in the precious name of Jesus. It's a blessing to be here and to know that we still have the same God as we talked about before, and he's still here with us. Been blessed to read the things we've heard this evening. I'd like you to open your Bibles to just a few psalms later than Brother Reuben read. There's Psalm 8. As you turn, there are a few thoughts I want to share. Consider with me what the wisest man said about 3 millennia ago. He said this, "I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit." About 20 centuries ago, this question was asked. They said, "We don't know where you're going, and how can we know the way?" And this was the answer, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." This was written by a man that had written a book about, says, one of the greater thinkers of our day, but he said this here, "A dream job, beautiful children, the best marriage, and a growing feeling of absolute emptiness." And then we've gave this quote before, "When you think what you think, when you think about God is the most important thing about you." And that was written, he's been called one of the most creative writers in the last century on the theme of God's holiness. Tonight I've chosen to speak on finding meaning in your life. Never underestimate the value of your life. Never underestimate it. I think from the very beginning, God had planned an incredible future for everyone that's present here tonight. Every person that's been born, God has planned an incredible future for each one, and especially for you here this evening, for myself. Thousands of years ago, King David, he looked up into the night sky and wrote down his thoughts regarding man's relationship with his Creator. Beginning there in Psalm 8. And I will start there in verse 3, I think it is. "Yes, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers." Notice that. It's God's fingers that did that work. "The moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained." And even we know the sun is a greater light than that. This is at night. He obviously looking at it, he saw the moon and the stars, but he said, "When I..." Just think of that. He recognized this awesome God is that, and we think of planet Earth and the universe, it says it's the work of God's fingers. It's just like God just used his fingers. That's all it took to do that. Again, in a sense, that's limiting God. And then he says this in verse 4. "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?" And here it seems that we think of what he's saying here. It says that thou hast ordained, has established the world. But what is man that thou art mindful of him? The idea is there that you're attentive to him. That you even notice him. What's man that thou art mindful of him? Compared to, and we think of that, he's painting this picture of the great universe. And here we are, these little insignificant little dots on planet Earth. He's just like, God, what is man that you even consider or give attention to him? "Or the son of man that thou visitest him." God came down and gave direction to people. He visited with them. And Dave is wondering the question. I think he wondered at the purpose of mankind just like we do today. Every one of us was created for a purpose. But far too many people never understand what that purpose is. There's many people go through life knowing there's something more, and yet they never understand what that purpose is. And I'm not sure these next two statements, I'm not sure whose credit. Different people give it to different people. But it's been said this. There's the two most important days in your life are, one, the day you were born, and two, the day you figure out why you were born. The day you were born and the day you figure out why you were born. Now, we really don't have much to do with the day we were born. We were born and we came into this life. But the second one, I think, probably There's a point every person struggles or tries to come to grips with that. Why was I born? What am I here for? What's my purpose? And many people spend most of their lives looking for that purpose or finding that meaning of why they were born and looking for the answers to the question, why was I born? Why am I here? What will give me a meaningful life? And hopefully most people, but too many people don't, they ask the question, what does God want for my life? So what is your purpose in life? What brings meaning to your life? And it was interesting to look at the meaning of meaning. I mean, in this setting, what brings purpose to your life? It could be fulfillment, but that meaning, it gives the idea of rich in significance. What makes your life rich in significance? What gives your life meaning? And we could look at many things that gives life meaning. I'd like to just use the board again a little bit tonight. There's different things that we could look at. First, we're going to just write some things up here. I put four things up there in four main categories. I have on top family, faith, and that can mean that could be church, and church should give us meaning, but what do we look for in meaning? And maybe you're thinking here tonight, you think of your faith, and if I could just go into VS work somewhere, then my life would have more meaning, it'd have more purpose, and have something more in it. Or maybe you want to go in foreign missions. It's something you want to do. If I could just, your life is not quite what you think it should be. If I could just go on the foreign mission field somewhere, and then I could have some more meaning in your life. Or maybe you think if I could be a part of an outreach somewhere, that would bring meaning. That's all in a sense with our faith or with church. Or maybe you even think if I could just be part of another church, my life would have meaning. Sometimes we struggle with those things. Or maybe you're a young man here tonight and you're enjoying life, but if I could just get married, if I could just have a wife, I think life would be fulfilling. Or we could say the same thing, maybe on the other side, if I could just have a husband, then if I could just, or have a special friend, then life would be somehow be fuller, have more meaning in life. Or maybe we look at finances, we could put work under here. We work hard, and we say, if I just have a little more wealth, and that can cover lots of things, if I could just make a little more money and do a little better, and then I could have more meaning. Now, I'm visiting with some of you people here. I think maybe in Lancaster County it's not as hard to make money as someplace, and maybe that's not a problem here. Maybe you have all the money you need, you never need any more. I don't know. But if you just think, if I could just have a little more money, then things would be better. If I could be rich, maybe you're thinking, if I could just have this here yet, and if in 10 years I can have all this, and then life sure will be full of meaning. And with that, it takes money for vehicles. And so if I have a vehicle, and that may come in here to, and I've used F's for all of to try to help us remember them, but sometimes vehicles are more, I think some people get them more for fun than for work and like that. So if I could just have the right vehicle, if I could just buy that truck that just set up just the right height, the tires are just the right width, and all that, maybe life would have a little more meaning. Or you could say, maybe you want a four-wheeler or a UTV or something like that. Or maybe if we could have a good family vacation and take some time off and go away and have some time to ourselves, then life would have more meaning. And we could add lots of things there. my point in that, those things aren't necessarily wrong, but sometimes we go after those things trying to find meaning in life. And we could ask the question, so what are my goals? Is it to accumulate that wealth? If I could just have more money. Or if I could, like I mentioned, if I could just go into service somewhere and do that 2 years or whatever in service, I think that bring a fulfillment in life, and life would be more meaningful. What brings fulfillment in life? That's a question I think we should ask ourselves. One man put it this way: we may try fast cars and loud pickups. We may try expensive boats and all-terrain equipment. We may try exotic hunting trips or lengthy vacations. But while there's a certain amount of thrill for the moment, in the end, it is all vanity and vexation of spirit. But ultimately, we ask the question again, why was I born? And why am I here? Why was I born right now? Have you ever thought, you wished, you know, it could have been 50 years ago or 100 years ago. Why did I have to be born right now in the time and whenever you were? Some of us were born 50 years ago. But if you see, or why am I living right now? If it could have just been, I know years ago, I was in church with a fella. He in his mind, if he could just live back with the Indians, life would have been so much better. He just loved the outdoors. He loved to be out there and spend time out there and do all those things. If he could, somehow life would just been better back there. That was just kind of his concept. So do you wonder why you're born right now? What really is my point of being here? What is the purpose? Have you ever asked yourself the question, why am I doing what I'm doing? Or what is really motivating me to do what I'm doing? That's another question we should ask sometimes. Is there a purpose to what I'm doing? What will bring real purpose or real meaning in my life? What will make my life rich with significance? The meaning there of meaning. And we can look, and sometimes we wonder what the purposes are. And the other night we mentioned some of the hard things we go through. And sometimes we look at that and say, God, what's the purpose? What's the meaning of all this? Why these things? What's your purpose here? An older man who'd been involved in some sort of ministry or another most of his life said this here: if you don't find something in life that really motivates you and that you get excited about, it's going to be a long life. It's going to be a long time till you get to die. But if you do something that you're really excited about, you do something that really motivates you, the next thing you know, you'll be an old man like me, and you'll wonder, and you're going to say, what happened? How did I get old so quickly? That was a refreshing perspective to me as I thought of that. You know, too often, I never thought of it in that way before. It's going to be a long time till you get to die if you're not excited about life. If you're just going humdrum through life and life doesn't mean anything, it's drag and it's boring. But if we can get excited about something that motivates us, invigorates us, like he said, he's asking himself, how did I get old so quickly? But his life was full of meaning. He had something he had purpose for. So what is the central theme of my life? What is most important in my life? Ultimately, we should be asking, what does God want me to be and to do? God has a plan for each one. Let's go to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. God had a plan for us before we were even born, and he has plans specific for each one of us. Psalm 139. I think we'll just break in right there, verse 13. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, when it continues for fashion, when as yet there was none of them. Here he's saying that God was interested from the very beginning of our life. Even when we were in a mother's womb, he was there and controlling. He had a purpose and a plan for us. And he goes on to 14. He said, I'm going to praise you because we are made in a fearful and wonderful way. It's amazing how God has made us and what he has done for us. And it talks about his marvelous works. And he said, and my soul knoweth it. David seemed to know this is the truth about it. Verse 15, it says there, basically, God, you knew everything about me. You saw everything while I was yet in secret. Then it says this, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Then it talks about his eyes saw us, being imperfect, and yet all our members were in God's eyes, even though we weren't fully formed in a sense, he saw us and knew exactly how we would be. And it's interesting there where it says curiously wrought. That has the idea of an embroiderer, or by implication to fabricate or to have detail there. It gives the idea of needlework, something intricate there. It gives the idea that God had a specific thing. He detailed our life and who we would be, and he had a plan there for us. It's not just like, well, this person, he's going to be born, and whatever happens, happens. God has a specific plan, and he wanted something special for us. God chose when you would be born, when I would be born. God chose who your parents would be. God chose the day and the year you would be born. God chose the bigger family you would be a part of. God chose the time in history you would be born. God even chose a church family you'd be born into. God gave you a personality. He chose the color of our hair. God chose whether we were male or female. God chose all those things. And life is thinking this way. God knew what he wanted for our life. He had plans for us. He knew what we would need to accomplish what he wanted us to do while we were here on this earth. God knew all this before we were born. He had all that planned out. Now, us that are parents, we know the excitement of a baby. And I remember meeting a younger couple the other day, they were expecting their first baby. And the excitement of that waiting, and yet even the trepidation with that the first time and all that, and yet the excitement with that, having a little baby born. And there's something about when you first hold that newborn baby, there's nothing quite like it. So the day we were born, our parents were excited. The day our children were born, we were excited about it. But I want you to think about it. I think God was even more excited. Because can I say it this way? I think God said, we were finally here. You finally came here, and now you were here to do what he wanted you to do. He had a plan for you back, way back before the foundation of the world even, because he's eternal. He sees the whole thing. And the day you arrived is like God said, now I can start implementing my plan for this special person. I want you to think about this here. The world was just right for you to accomplish what God wanted you to accomplish when you were born. Do you sometimes think, and do we sometimes wonder, why all the things, why now? It's sometimes we wonder about all that. God knew exactly when it would be, and the world was just right. The situation in the world is just right for each child when they are born. And God is there to help them accomplish what he wants them to. So we're all in a search for what that is. We want to know, okay, God, what do you have for us? What will bring purpose and meaning? We are created with desire to have meaning in life. There's something within us that wants to do something meaningful in life and do have purpose and do something. And men, I think, have that even more sometimes, ladies, that they want to go out to create and they want to do good things and do something big and like that. And yet that's within all people, I think, to do that. I think it's more important to find purpose and meaning in life than it is to make a lot of money and be rich or to be famous or to be known. People know that certain things about us, or it's much more important to have purpose and meaning than to have the latest of all the greatest things of electronics that we can have today. Even there's so much technology out there. Sometimes it's like you almost, and growing as a younger person, that interests me very much. And I used to, what's the new thing? What's the next thing that's out there? And it kind of gave you the meaning and purpose to keep going on. But to have meaning and purpose in life with God is much more important than that. And it's more important to have purpose and meaning than to drive the nicest car, to dress nice, or to have the nice house, or a good business and profitable and all that. It's much more important that we have true meaning and purpose in life than have all those material things. There's a survey that was taken. And this was taken, I try to find more up-to-date surveys, but this is back, I think, in 2015 or 17. It says, in America, 6% of college students don't know what they want to do. It kind of struck me because I thought they're going to college to learn to do something so they have because they have a purpose. But it says 6% don't know what they want to do. And it said they had no meaning in life. That was some of the conclusions of the survey. No meaning in life. And this was manifested in a state of boredom. They were bored with life because there was no purpose. And I think that's why, and it concluded in there that that's why so many of these people are looking for adventure, because they have no meaning. They're bored with life and they're looking for something else. They were looking for something excitement. They need excitement to get rid of the boredom. And a lot of them really didn't know what to do with their life. As they looked ahead of their life, they looked and there was really no meaning there. And their thought was more, we just live and then we die and it's over. That's kind of the attitude that was given here. Because you see, if you really believe there's no God, it don't really matter what you do. There's no accountability. If there's no eternal life, you just live, and then you die, and then you're buried, and it's all over. You think of that. How much meaning is in that? Why work hard all your life if, in the end, it doesn't mean much to anybody? So what do you have to do? If that's the idea, you might as well have fun. Might as well do exciting things with your life. But they end up in boredom. Even though they go look for the excitement, they were ending up in boredom. So they try to find a more exciting thrill, something more to do, more excitement somewhere. But it's not real. It's a false reality they're living in. And they think if they go do those things, then life would be more exciting. But it's a false reality. It's only a farce. It's a fake. It's a counterfeit. It's an imitation of true joy and meaning in life. And real adventure, true adventure and meaning in life in Jesus Christ is true reality. And I think sometimes, I even have to look at myself, watch myself. We look in the world around us, all the things we're doing, we think, well, that's kind of real life. And us Christians, we're kind of deprived of some of those things because we don't go do those things. And it really, but no, they have a false reality of life. The closer we are to Christ Jesus, the more reality, true reality we have in our lives. So what do? They go out and find thrilling experiences to try to find meaning in life and do some crazy things. That's why the whole thing of extreme sports has grown tremendously. I remember back probably 20 years ago when you first started hearing that term, extreme sports, and some of the crazy things people would do to have excitement. But you know, first it's a small thrill, and then you have to have a little bigger thrill, then you have to have a little bigger thrill. Now, maybe this next thing I share shows I'm from the South, because we don't have much snow and we don't have many hills. And I take this from what people have told me about it already. So why are people willing to go on top of a high mountain, strap themselves to a piece of board, and throw themselves down the mountain? Halfway down, they think they're about going to die, not sure if they're going to make it. And maybe they fall and stumble and slide and get scratched up, and sometimes people break legs and all that, but then you get to the bottom, and then you know what they do? They get up and try it again. Why do they do that? But you know, soon it has to be a bigger mountain. Soon that was not good enough. We have to go to a bigger and a higher one. It brings a thrill. But we have to try a higher mountain. Why are we willing to take risks like that? And I'm not saying it's wrong to do that. But why are we willing to take risks like that in the physical sense and do things that are on the verge of being crazy sometimes, and life-threatening, but then when God asks to do something that may cost us our life or even our reputation or either other things, we're just not too sure if we want to do that. It takes us too far out of our comfort zone. Which one will bring true meaning in life? Having those earthly thrills or doing what God would want us to? I think if we're really committed to God, He will lead us into real adventure. God will lead us into real adventure. Do you want to get involved with something that has significance for eternity? That's one of the steps of finding meaning in life. Doing something that has significance for eternity. Real adventure is seeing what God can do in the lives of sinners. When you consider it, a filthy, rotten, dirty sinner, a slave of Satan, and they've been involved in all kinds of things, and then Christ washes them and makes them clean, and they become a new person in Christ, and they just totally change. Now, that's something exciting. That's something, if you want to call it a thrill, that's a blessing. That gives meaning and purpose to life. To see them become a clean, righteous child of God. I think of there where Jesus came to the man that had the demons. He was demon-possessed. And people were afraid of them. And then Jesus cast the demons out. And the next picture you have, he was sitting at Jesus' feet, clothed and in his right mind. Just know the change that came to him. And the people marveled at that. And I think as people come to Christ Jesus and he saves them, there's nothing more exciting than seeing that happen in life. That should be what excites us more than anything else. Excuse me. Where are we finding meaning in life? And here's just another poll I've seen. It just talks about where Americans find meaning in life. And they were given several options, so the percentages don't come out to 100%. They're given several, they could put several things down. But the highest one was 69% of the responses was family is where meaning is. And then next was career. And then next was money. And then spirituality or faith was next at about 20%. Another poll taken similar to that, they had family first and faith was seventh. And notice this interesting comment that the pollsters made about these people they were polling about this here. It says many evangelicals, and they would have classed Anabaptists, evangelicals, anybody that believes in Christianity, evangelicals. Many evangelicals find meaning in faith, while atheists often find it in activities and finances. I thought that was an interesting observation they made there. Those that do believe in Jesus Christ and say that the faith was important to them, but the atheists that don't believe in God, it was activities and finances and all that, and that kind of challenged me. In my thinking, how often do I think that's where meaning is? Being active, going and doing things, making money, and that becomes important, most important thing in our life. But he's saying that's what the ones that don't believe in God, that's where they find meaning. When we live for self, we will never find true meaning, real meaning. It's only when we live for something greater than us. And we talked about worship, something outside of ourselves. When we look at something bigger than me and something beyond myself, when we find true meaning and purpose in life. The world has many people in their 30s and 40s that have worked hard. They have pursued their dreams. They've accomplished much. They've done lots of things only to realize something is lacking. Something is missing. Life is empty. They're bored. They're disillusioned. They're just like, this isn't what I want. They become depressed. Remember the one quote I said earlier? A dream job, beautiful children, the best marriage, and a growing feeling of absolute emptiness. There's too many people in America today that way. It looks like they have everything, but they're empty. It reminds me also of a brother I know in Virginia Beach. He used to live in Washington, D.C., and he said he knew a lot of people there. And that were involved, some of the people he used to work with, some of the women that were in some of the organizations he was. They were taught this women's lib. You don't need to get married. Don't need to do that. You know, there's meaning in career and doing all that. He said there's a lot of women up there. They're 60, 65 years old. They're single, filthy rich, no friends, no meaning in life. He said the world sold them the wrong thing. They thought this is what it would be, and they went after what the world was saying. We're being liberated from all this stuff, and they end up in the end of their life, and they're lonely. They have all the money. But they're lonely. They have very few friends. Remember hearing a story some years ago of a man, or a young man that lived on the West Coast in a big city. He actually was from Central America, was up there illegally. He was involved in street living as a young man into his young teens and upper teens. And the one thing he loved to do was steal cars. And he knew, he said he could, and this was several years ago, and he'd just steal a Ford or a Mazda or a Chevy. It was a high-end sports cars. It was the Lamborghinis, the Ferraris, and all that. And he said once he opened the door, in 5 seconds, he could short-wire the ignition and be gone with the car. That's how good he was with it. And this is in his teenage years yet. And then he would have that car. He would drive it around the streets for several days until the cops finally caught up with him. And for those several days, it was a thrill of all his friends and the gangs of looking, wow, look what he's driving. And he said, it was just a thrill. You get caught, the police would catch you. They would arrest you, may put you in jail a day or two, turn loose, and then he'd go back out and he'd do it all over again. And he said it was a thrill that he got from that. And he got arrested several times for that and other things, and eventually ended up in prison sometime for a month or two to start with. And then he said he graduated up to the level of state penitentiary. He said when he reached that level in his circles, he had accomplished something. He had actually had so much thrill and did so many things. Even though he got caught, it was considered he reached a mile mark in their mind of doing something good that he went to the state penitentiary. He was there for less than a year, and he realized at that point, look, if I keep this up, something's going to happen. I'll be locked up for life. So he went back to Central America. And he said he lived a lot of life in those few years. One day he walked into a Plain Anabaptist church, one of the mission churches down in Central America, and they were singing. Then he heard the preaching, and he said when he walked in there, he said it answered the question for him, where is meaning in life? He found Christ there. He said that service brought so much meaning to him, and he said, I found what I've been looking for all these years. That tremendous testimony. And sometimes we sit in church and think, well, do we have a lot of meaning here? But that man lived that exciting wild life, and when he walked into a church service, he met Jesus and he found meaning. What a tremendous blessing. If we want a life that's effective and meaningful, it will because we've intentionally sought that for which God wants us to do. He wants me to do. To invest in things to have meaning means to invest in eternity and things that have meaning in the kingdom of God. Excuse me. If we invest in the kingdom of God, we've invested into things for eternity, and it will bring true meaning. Things in this life do not have much meaning without Jesus. That was just the introduction. Let's get to the first point, and then briefly, and we'll go to the second point. I'd like to just briefly look at a meaningless life. Let's go to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 2. Read the first 11 verses here in Ecclesiastes 2. I said in my heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting mine heart with wisdom, to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the sun all the days of their life. I made me great works. I built in me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards. I planted trees of them of all kinds of fruit. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens, and had servants born in my house. I also got great possessions, and of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold and peculiar treasures of kings and of providences. I gat me mansingers and women singers, and the delights of the sons of men, of musical instruments, and that of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever my eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this is my portion in all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, All was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. Now here Solomon is saying what he experienced. Now, have you ever thought, if you could just do exactly what you want to do, then you'd be happy and life would have meaning? Well, Solomon here, I think, is a testimony of one man that seemed to be able to do that. He says, anything he wanted to do, he did. And he built, and even history, you look back and it says the things he did, that it was incredible some of the things he had there. He did it all. It's interesting, he said, I planted trees of them of all kinds of fruits. And just a lot of things, he had pools there to water the trees. He had servants and all those things, and had so many things. He gathered gold and silver. And some people said that the gold in Jerusalem, in all of Israel that time, was just so plentiful. It was like almost wasn't worth as much because he had got so much gold in. He had all this here. And he said, so I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. And also my wisdom remained with me. But then he says this. He got everything he wanted to. And verse 11, he comes, it's all, in the end he said it's vanity. He means by that emptiness, unsatisfactory. It brings, doesn't bring meaning at all. He said life is vanity. Let's go to chapter 11. Verse 7, true, the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for me from the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many, and all that come is vanity. And then he goes on, they're talking about to remember, O young man, do the things that cheer thee, but remember, God will bring you into judgment. So here it's, you kind of get this feeling from Solomon here as he did all these good things, and it just means nothing. I don't have anything to look forward to. Life has no meaning. What's the point? And he just, you get that feeling from him as he wrote here. Just life was meaningless to him. I just read a little something I have here. It's taken from the context of the American churches and the loss of sense of majesty and meaning in life and all that. I'll just read it here. With our loss of sense of majesty has come the further loss of religious awe and consciousness of divine presence. We have lost our spirit of worship and our ability to withdraw inwardly to meet God in adoring silence. Modern Christianity is simply not producing the kind of Christian who can appreciate or experience the life in the Spirit. The words, "Be still and know that I am God," mean next to nothing to the self-confident, bustling worshiper in this middle period of the 20th century. This author is bemoaning the fact that even though they say we're Christian, we can do all those things, but the idea of being in the presence of God, be still and know that I am God, they really have no idea. And one person put it this way, they say they want God, but they really would have God. He thinks they'd be so shocked at what it actually is, they're not sure if they really want it. There's so many Christians today who say they want God, but it's empty. They don't know what it is to really serve God. Now let's look at true meaning in life. True meaning comes from understanding that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That's where true meaning comes. A life of complete surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ is the way to true joy and fulfillment, a life with real meaning. It gives us a reason to get up in the morning, even more than a cup of coffee. I trust the idea of getting up and meeting Christ Jesus himself is enough to give you a boost in the morning to get up. Now, if you want to drink coffee, I don't have a problem with that. But what do we use? What is that gets us going in the morning? Does it give us a reason? It should. It gives us a reason to face the day in hope and looking forward to and anticipating the day. The real Christian life is not boring. Serving Christ is not boring. Now, we have at our home sometimes, with some of the boys that have problems, say they're just bored. And usually that doesn't mean there's nothing they can do, there's nothing to play with. It just means they've played with different things, they're kind of tired with that, and there's nothing to do, I'm just bored. But it's because of the wrong focus. If they would look at all the things they could do, but they've just done that, and sometimes I think when they have so many options of different things they can do, they get bored quicker than they have a few things they can do. But the Christian life is not boring. A life of meaning found in worshiping something grander than ourselves and outside of ourselves is bigger than anything earth has to offer. Let's go to John 4. We were there the other night, but let's look at John 4 just a little bit. John chapter 4 and verse 13. Again, it's a setting there with the Samaritan woman there at the well. Right chapter. Jesus was speaking to her there. And then in verse 13, Jesus said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water," the well that they were sitting there by, "shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." When we have Jesus Christ within us and that well is within us, it springs up and it gives us satisfaction. It gives us meaning in life. And you go back to Matthew 5 there. Let me just turn to make sure I get it quoted right. You want a life of meaning here. Can't lay my eyes on it there. But, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. If you are hungering and thirsting after Christ, you will be filled. There will be meaning in life. Then we go down to verse 23 and 24 again. We talked about worship, but the hour cometh and now is when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is the Spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. When we worship God in spirit and in truth, and our life is a worship to him, our life will be full of meaning. We'll have real meaning. Again, of life of meaning is found in relationship with our Heavenly Father through the work of Jesus Christ. Let's go to John 14. It's in relationship with God the Father through what Christ has done for us, his indwelling presence within us. John 14, verse 6. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also, for henceforth you know him and have seen him." Here we see we come to the Father through Jesus Christ, and we have that relationship restored, and we have the relationship with God the Father. It brings meaning to life. It gives us purpose. It gives us a reason to get up in the morning and do something. At the first, we said there's the two most important days of our lives. The first one, the day you were born. The second one, the day you figure out why you were born. So the question is, why were we born? Why are we here for? We're here to love the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength to love our neighbor as ourself. And then in Scripture, in another place, says, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. We're here to love God and to love our neighbor, and there's God fills in the details. There are many things to go with it. Let's go to Isaiah 55. But we're here to serve the Lord our God, to love him and do what he has called us to do. What a blessing to have a God that wants us to serve him. And we are to give him our all. As we think of this here, Isaiah 55. If you want something that satisfies, come to God. Let's begin there in verse 1. "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and you labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me. Here in your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David." And we see here, he's saying, everyone come. If you're thirsty, come, and I will fill you. And then he says, why do you spend money for that which doesn't have meaning, doesn't satisfy, doesn't give you purpose in life? He says, come and hearken diligently, and I will give you something that's good. And then the end of verse 2 there, it just says, let your soul delight itself in fatness. And the thought there, if I understand that right, the thought there is the idea, and there's something about seeing cows on a nice green field in lush grass. And I had to think of this when I think of this verse. I often think of this in the spring when we turn the cows out the first one. They let grass get up nice and high, and they go out there, and it's a nice green grass. And they're just out there, and you can hear them tearing the grass, and they're just loving it. And you look up an hour later, and they're just laid down out there in the grass. They're satisfied. That's the idea here, is the fact that looking here, your soul delights itself in fatness. You're satisfied. It's the idea of an animal out there grazing, and they're just satisfied. There's no need. They feel full. And that's what he's saying here. Let's let our soul delight ourselves and just feast on what God has for us. And then we can lay down, so to speak, among his word and be satisfied and know that what he has done for us. It gives us satisfaction. He will give fatness to your souls. Then we go down up to verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. The beautiful picture there again, when we come to God, he will abundantly pardon. If we have walked away from him, if we have been walking in life with no meaning, and we've walked away from God, when we come back, he will not just pardon, he will abundantly pardon. He is glad that his love reaches out to us. He will abundantly pardon. I continue reading there. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the way whereunto I send it. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and hills shall break forth before you into singing. All the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn, there shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar, shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Here we see, talks about God's ways aren't our ways. And sometimes we understand how God works, and yet he works for the good of us. But he says there, if we believe this and let God lead us, he's going to lead us to many good things. Notice what he says there. You will go with joy. You will have peace. The hills will break forth in singing. It's going to be a good experience. Your life will have meaning and purpose. It will be a fulfilled life as we let God lead us. If we let God lead us, life is an adventure. We talked earlier, we can pursue these things. And if we're pursuing them just for them in itself, it does not bring meaning. So how do we bring meaning to this here? When you bring God into your life, and God is the central focus of your life, now church is full of meaning, work is full of meaning, and even fun, parts of it, some maybe not, is full of meaning. Some things are fun that people call fun probably shouldn't be done. Family becomes full of meaning. Now, going into voluntary service because of what God has done, he's central in my life, it has meaning to it. And so we don't go do these things to find meaning. But as we have Christ within our life, he brings meaning to all of life. All of a sudden, life is full of meaning, but God is there. When we seek God first, meaning comes to life. Life is full of meaning. Let's go back to Ecclesiastes 12. Verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. He's saying, while you're young, remember your Creator. Put God first, and life will be full of meaning. Life will have that excitement to it. Then verse 13, here's the answer to a meaningless life. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of men. If you want to find an answer to a meaningless life, fear God and keep his commandments. Do what God wants you to do. In conclusion, where are you, God? You are sovereign, holy, omniscient, immutable. You are our Holy Father, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And our hearts are restless until they find their rest in Thee. Our hearts are restless until we find our rest in God. Without a doubt, the mightiest thought the mind can entertain is the thought of God, and the weightiest word in any language is its word for God. A life full of meaning will respond with a heart of worship. 1 Timothy 1:17, now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Life only has real meaning when we find our meaning in relationship with an awesome and holy God. And we experience the reality of be still and know that I am God. I trust tonight you've experienced that. And I believe you have. And just a reminder tonight to realize that if we want meaning in life, it's about God. And to know what it means to be still and experience the awesomeness of God. And then from there, all of life can flow out. And life can have meaning and purpose as we go through life.